Nehemiah chapter number 4. I've got a starting place, a starting point, and where we go from there, I'm not sure, but I'm just going to give you as the Lord leads my heart this morning and trust God to speak to us. And most of you know the setting of Nehemiah. Most of you know that this is in chapter number 1, we start to see the effects, the result, the consequence of the Babylonian captivity and the and what took place, how the walls of Jerusalem, chapter 1, verse 3, the walls of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And I believe you could say that the enemy doesn't play games. The enemy does not mind at all to burn and to break everything in your life that is spiritual and has got great spiritual heritage and godly heritage to it. The enemy cares nothing about that. Not one of the enemy that was involved in the breaking down of the gates and burning them with fire and all of that, not a one of them cried one tear. But we come into chapter 4, and I want to start in verse number 1. And I'm not sure exactly, like I said, where we're going to go with this, if the Lord's going to be having it to be extended or not. I don't know. But I do know for a fact the Lord wants us to at least start this morning. And I've just been accumulating some thoughts and just allowing the Lord to speak to my heart about this subject that I'm going to be dealing with or start to deal with. Verse number 1 of chapter 4, you can stand in reverence to the scripture, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And I think we can learn another lesson about the enemy. The enemy surely does like the breaking down and the burning of everything, crumbling it, compiling it into nothing but rubbish. But even after they build the wall, the enemy does not sit down and say, well, I thought I had them. They have already got stirred back up and rebuild the walls. Amen. But that also lets us see a little bit of something about God's people. Just because that things get broken and burnt down by the enemy and there's a captivity and there's a reversal and a neglect and a decline that takes place in our life, and it's because of sin, as chapter 1 shows us, God's people is going to get back up again. A just man may fall 7 times, but he's going to get back up. Some of you, if you had stayed down the first time you got down, you wouldn't be here today, and you wouldn't be hearing me preach today, but we got up again. It's not how many times have you failed or fallen. The question is, did you get up one more time than you fail? Amen. And so God's people have, by the enemy's own testimony, had builded the wall. Verse 2, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? That's what the devil and the enemies think about us, that we're just a bunch of doormats that the enemy can walk over and just wipe their feet on us. What do these feeble, these weak, inadequate Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? And look at this. Will they make an end in a day? And the part that's got my attention is this next question. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? So that gives us some insight, even from the enemy, what Nehemiah was describing in chapter 1 and chapter 2 about the burning and the breaking down and the heaps and the, all of that. The enemy calls it heaps of rubbish, which are burned. Verse number 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Did y'all notice that? He asked the question in verse 2, will they revive what? The stones. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish? Well, in verse number 3, he makes another criticizing statement. He says, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. Well, where did those stones come from that made the stone wall? Where did they come from? They were stones, in verse number 2, that had been revived out of the heaps of the rubbish. Amen. Keep that in mind. Verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Thank God for people that, even in the thick of things, believes in prayer. Devil don't care how much you go to church as long as you don't pray. Nehemiah here, hearing the accusation, hearing the insults, hearing the criticism, steps up and says, hear, O our God. For we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity and cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee, not me, but thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall. Thank God, in spite of everything, Nehemiah said, we built the wall. Opposition? Oh, definitely. Overwhelming rubbish? Oh, definitely. But he said, we built the wall. We built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll bless and sanctify the scriptures to our hearts and our hearing. We pray this morning that you will show me, bring to my attention everything, God, that I need to see and say. And Lord, we just have a starting point, a general direction in our heart. And we'll just trust you, Lord, to help us with it. Speak to us as a church. Speak to us as individuals. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Save people this morning, souls that need to be saved. Lord, save sinners. Lord, we want to pray that this morning. Lord, that you would save sinners. Lord, we ask you this morning that they would understand this morning that being saved does not place them on a playground but on a battleground. And we have opposition, and our spiritual life requires maintenance, and our spiritual life requires walls and protection and defending ourselves with spiritual weaponry. Lord, it requires us building. Have your way this morning. Get the glory. Stir the saints of God. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing and reading this, or following along as we read the scripture this morning. We have revival as far as a meeting scheduled in just a few weeks with Brother Alfred Willis from St. Stephen's, South Carolina, March the 13th, 14th, 15th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that'll be here before you know it. And I'm not a prophet, and I'm not even the son of a prophet, and don't know a prophet today. Amen. We are forthtelling the word instead of foretelling the word. But I do know this, that I can go ahead and make a statement of what will happen in those 3 days or four or whatever of that revival meeting if we do not begin our preparation way ahead of time. Amen. And the harder the ground is, the sooner it needs to be plowed. The sooner that the fallow ground needs to be broken up, amen, and get it ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And the Lord has impressed my heart that we need to start that this morning. I wasn't planning to do that until maybe a week or two. And just, we normally do that. We normally preach on revival in that direction for a few weeks there before, or a few services anyway, prior to the revival. But the Lord is sending this message, at least the thought of it, and going to, I hope, deal with us with it. Chapter 4, verse number 2. Chapter 4, verse number 2, in that statement that I emphasized in verse number 2. When Sanballat asked this question, he says, will they, and know this word, I believe it ought to be of interest, will they revive? Not will God revive without man, but will God revive through man these stones? God did not revive a one of them directly, but everything that took place, God did it through people. People that are so adequately described in chapter 4, verse 6, for the people had a mind to work. Amen? He did so through builders. He did so through workers. But the question was asked, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, if you meditate on that verse, on that statement, that question, and by the way, let me just insert this right here, lest I forget it. They put it as a question. The enemy always questions your spiritual life. The enemy said, will they? And I want to challenge you, and as I've been challenged myself, to take the questions of the enemy and turn them around into a statement. They will. Will they revive? We ought to respond by that and say, we will revive. We will revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish. And so you have two words there that caught my attention, and we're going to use that for our launching pad this morning, and that is the word revive and then the word rubbish. And I'm going to preach it to you as a choice. And it's a choice that you've got to make and I've got to make. It's a choice that I've got to make daily. Will I be interested in allowing and tolerating the rubbish, or am I going to be interested in revival? Am I going to be interested in reviving the stones that once were in formation and was in place for God, that the enemy has come in and through ever what process they use had disassembled, burnt, and broke down those walls. I like this, they were still called stones. They were covered, they were disguised by the rubbish, but they were still called stones. If they were a stone in your life last year that was being used to build your spiritual life, it's still a stone today, even though it may be piled up under a heap of rubbish. What is your attitude this morning toward rubbish? And you're probably going to hear me say some of these sayings several times, maybe, I don't know. But you ought to note this morning that rubbish, actually the word rubbish there in that text just simply means powder or dust. Let me ask you ladies something. Of course, we're all familiar with dust. Is it of any benefit? It is worthless. What is your attitude toward the rubbish in your life? What inwardly and outwardly, in your home, in your church, in your life, what is your attitude toward rubbish? And that will speak volumes about what your attitude will be toward revival. If I'm okay with the rubbish, then why would I want to revive the stones out of the rubbish? Most of us are controlled by the worthless things in our life. We cater to the rubbish piles more than we do the stones that are in the rubbish. And so I trust God will help us, but I'm preaching this morning, if the Lord will help me, on rubbish or revival. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. If you want the rubbish to stay piled up in heaps, the rubbish will stay piled up in heaps. If you're okay with the stones of what used to be in your life, that used to stand tall in your life, that used to be monumental, that used to be a testimony in your life that even trickles back through our forefathers, as Nehemiah talked about, if it's okay for you to talk about the stones of used to be, the stones of yesteryears, the stones of past generations, if it's okay for you to talk about it in that light, you're probably not going to deal with rubbish. But when you realize, as Nehemiah did, the shame that's associated with the walls being broken down and the gates being burned and the shame that that has cast upon God's people, amen, then we're willing to deal with the rubbish to bring about the reviving of the stones. But listen, and I wrote it down sitting back there a while ago. Can you imagine when Nehemiah in chapter 1 got the report of what had happened? That the gates were burned and the walls were broken down, just a pile of rubbish, a heap of stones and dust and fragments, and stuff that's of no count, of no value. You can't grow anything in rubbish. If it means dust, and it does, you could gather up, it may take you a while, but you could gather up and dust your house and eventually get you a 5-gallon bucket full of dust. Put some seed in it and see if it'll germinate and grow. It has no capabilities whatsoever of growing fruit, growing, producing life. Amen? And that's mostly what's in our life is dust and rubbish that the enemy has brought about in our life. Amen. The stones are still there. They're valuable. They need to be revived. They are those things that need to be dug out again and put back in place of where they need to be. Oh yeah. God help us. Revival or rubbish? Rubbish or revival? The choice is yours. If you're okay, and I've said it again, I'll probably say it more than that. If you're okay with rubbish, then you're probably not going to be interested in God moving through your life and the life of your church to bring about a revival. Amen. And most people, listen, they're okay with it. And look, watch this. And I believe this is a reality. I've even sensed it in my own life. There are times that we're okay, and it's never spiritual, Brother Craig, that we're okay with the rubbish in our life. The heaps of rubbish, the Bible said. Heaps. Piles of it. It's not just surface stuff. It's deep. It's deep enough, evidently, according to that statement, Brother Mark, it's deep enough to be hiding the stones. The stones are in the rubbish. You know it's bad when the rubbish is as big or bigger, deeper than the stones are big. And the stones are those things in your life that once stood for God, that had a formation about it, that had a fortification about it, that had a protection about it, amen, that kept the enemy at bay sometimes of attacking you because of those walls that were built by those stones. But now, because of sin, and that was the root cause of the Babylonian captivity, was because of sin, the enemy came in and broke down the walls and burnt the gates with fire. Well, oh mercy. But here's what I wanted to say a minute ago. And I'm winging this sometime, some of this. Lord, it's in my heart, and that's all I know. Amen. And the Lord's allowed me to meditate on it and have some thoughts, you know, but far as an outline together, I don't have none of that. But this morning, that's not what I'm interested in, and that's not what we need, is 2 points in a poem. We need a word that's going to stir us up to put us in the valley of decision, rubbish or revival. Rubbish or revival? Will rubbish reach the next generation? Will rubbish reach these young people and kids that are sitting all on these pews that are not saved yet? Will rubbish do that? Will rubbish allow our church to be effective in missions around the world? Will rubbish allow our church to be powerful? Will rubbish allow our church to be spiritual? Will, and the answer to all those questions is no, because rubbish has no value. It has no benefits. All it's used for is by the enemy to cover up and to hide and disguise the stones of what used to be and the stones of what needs to be. So you're in that valley personally. You can point to yourself and you say, I'm in that valley. I'm in that choice. Rubbish. And let me just help you right here in case you're in an examination right now. Everybody in here, including me, has got rubbish in your life. So I'm just helping you with that. I don't want you to waste a few minutes of this message in trying to look around and see if you got any rubbish in your life. Let me just help you. You got rubbish in your life. And if you deny that, we'll let your mama testify. We'll let your husband, wife testify. We'll let your children testify. Amen. We'll all find out that we got too much rubbish, we got too much worthless dust in our life. Amen. But not only, you know, if you're okay with it, and I've already said that, you're okay with rubbish, then you're not going to be having any desires to revive the stones. If the rubbish is okay in your life, then the stones don't mean nothing. But if the stones mean something, and getting back where God's people and God's house and the temple and all those things, my friend, are back where they need to be, then you're going to have an attitude toward the rubbish. I'm going to say it again. Your attitude toward the rubbish determines everything about your attitude toward revival. Revival or rubbish? The choice is yours. It won't be revival and rubbish. Thank you, Lord. It's not revival and rubbish. It's not that I can have both. Okay, Lord, I've got this rubbish in my life, but we're just going to kind of leave that, because if I deal with that, then I'm going to have to quit some things. And if I deal with that, and by the way, getting rid of rubbish, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If you're to deal with the rubbish, that means you've got to separate the rubbish from what needs to be revived. We don't need a revival of rubbish. We've already got that. Amen. We don't need a revival of rubbish. We need the removal of rubbish so we can have a reviving of the stones. Amen. But listen, if you're okay with it, you'll never desire the revival. But I'll tell you a second thing I believe that you can have about this rubbish. You can get overwhelmed with it. You say, what are you talking about? Can you imagine when Nehemiah went there in chapter number 1 and he looked and he heard about it. He heard about the walls being broken down. He heard about the gates being burned with fire. He just heard about it. It broke him. It burdened him. He got disturbed about that. He desired to do something for the Lord about it. He prayed and fasted about that situation. But then he went and looked at it. He made a trip and observed the situation. Can you imagine here at this point now, at this point when he took that first survey trip, if you could call it that, when he made that first survey trip, I don't know that he had too many with him. And when he looked, maybe from the hillside or wherever he was at, and he saw what once was a monumental testimony for God, now it's nothing but broken down and burnt and laying in heaps of rubbish. You think Nehemiah was overwhelmed? Oh my goodness, look at the rubbish. He was burdened, Miss Debbie, about what used to be, but then he started realizing, now if I tackle this, if I engage in dealing with this, if I step up and say, Lord, and he did say that, I will build it. He said that. You say, where did he say that at? Let me show it to you. I've seen it there a while ago. He said, I will build it. I underscored it, but I probably can't find it now. I mean, later on, he said in chapter 2, verse 18, let us rise and build. Let us rise and build. Let me find that. I'm going to find that. Forgive me for not being, I like to have all my stuff together, but there it is, verse 5 of chapter 2. He closes the statement and said, that I may build it. Nehemiah started out and said, you know what? No matter whether anybody else deals with rubbish or not, or is interested in reviving the stones, whether anybody else is interested in that or not, I am going to tackle this task. I am going to engage. I'm going to commit myself to dealing with the rubbish. You can't revive the stones and leave the rubbish. The rubbish is a hindrance of you getting to the stones that needs to be revived. And that'd be a whole other message in itself, would it not? The stones that need to be revived. Maybe God will have us preach on that at another time. Stones that need to be revived but cannot be revived and will not be revived unless there is a hatred and a rejection against the rubbish. You know you're in trouble when you start declining spiritually, when you start deviating scripturally, and you're okay with it. You know, and have we not all been there at times? Have we not always been there? I can't say that every time that I've declined, every time that I've started straying, every time that I started going in the wrong direction, that I couldn't sleep at night and I lost my appetite. No, there have been times that I was okay with it. I'm not talking about months and months of it. I'm talking about just, you know, day or two or whatever. Don't look so sanctified. Guarantee you're there too. Amen. What's your attitude toward the rubbish in your life? Huh? I guess that would be one of the foundational thoughts of this whole message is what's your attitude toward rubbish? Anyway, I believe he was overwhelmed with it. And I thought, no doubt he probably thought, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, I'm just one. I'm human. I don't know how that I'm going to do these things. And I don't know how, you know. But when that one person, Nehemiah, committed to saying, I will build it, and that came after he had prayed and after he had fasted and after he observed and saw the situation, he committed and said, I will build it. Amen. Somebody's got to step up and help in the point of leadership. There's people that'll have a mind to work. There's people that will follow. There's people that'll say, yeah, preacher, I hate rubbish too. And yes, preacher, there's some stones in my life that once was erect and once stood in my life and once had a testimony in my life, but I've allowed these issues to come in my life. And God, allowed judgment to fall. Amen. Look at this. I was planning to deal with it later. Look at chapter 1. Look at chapter number 1 of Nehemiah. Hope you still got your Bibles open. Amen. God help us. Look at chapter 1. Of course, he hears about the report in verse 2. He inquires more of the details in verse number 3. Where are the captivity, the people that were the remnant of the captivity? And he was told that they were in great affliction and reproach. And look at verse number 4. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven when he heard about it. When he heard of the breaking down and the rubbish that was piled up and all of that. He was so burdened. What burdens you? What? He was so broken. He wept and mourned, amen, over it. And I believe this is letting us see into Nehemiah's attitude toward the situation. You'll never want revival if you're okay with not having it. If revival is an option, you look at revival as an option. Listen, I'm telling you, if you're okay with it's just an option, well, you know, if the Lord gives us some good days and if the Lord moves in that meeting with Brother Willis, hey, let me ask you something. What's wrong with us starting revival today? What's wrong with us committed to dealing with rubbish in our life and in our home and in our church today? What would be wrong with March the 13th, Monday night, 7 o'clock, Brother Alfred Willis comes for his first night, and we're already in a full-blown revival. We're already in a breakout. What would be wrong with that? And if you think Brother Willis is, and there's not a better preacher in the country, in my opinion, than Brother Alfred Willis, certainly not a more joyful Christian. But if you think, and I think for one second, that he's going to come up here with his personality and all of those things that he has going for him and bring revival. I mean, just tell you, Brother Willis, when he gets here, he may preach. I don't know what he's going to preach. I'm not talking to him. I'm not telling him nothing because I'm just going to be honest with you. I wouldn't know what to tell him if I could tell him something. I've asked some of you, what's going on at RBT? I said, because I don't have a clue. If I do find out what's going on at RBT, it's going to be Katie bar the door. I promise you that. Say amen right there. But right now, I don't have a clue. Other than the fact that God laid this message and birthed this message on my heart, amen, maybe it's because we've got rubbish. And the rubbish is connected to sin. Can I give it to you? Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Nehemiah is praying to God in verse 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And look what he says in verse number, let's just read it, verse 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I have prayed before thee now, watch this, day and night. You know you're burdened about something when it starts interrupting your sleep. I want to say that again. I've never said that, but I want to say it again. Never thought of that. It just came out. You know that something is going on, amen, when it begins to interrupt your sleep. And you know that when your eyes are open and your head is over on the pillow, that your mind is upon this burden. Your mind is upon the rubbish, if you will. And what the enemy's doing. And what, listen, amen, what the enemy's doing. Look what he said, goes on to say. He prayed before the Lord, prayed before him now, day and night, for the children of Israel. Look at it. Thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Watch this now. Look back in chapter 1, verse 3. Look what he says. And they said unto me, he's getting the report now, the broken walls and the burnt gates and all that. He's getting a report. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. I wrote out beside of that with the reference to chapter 4, verse 2, rubbish. Gates broken down and burnt with fire. The walls broken down. All of that is described by the enemy himself in chapter 4, verse number 2, to be rubbish. The stones that need to be revived are laying in heaps of rubbish. So he's dealing with rubbish in verse 3, but then he starts praying about the situation, and before he prays long, he's already confessing and repenting and dealing with sin. So let's take Brother Fultz, let's take verse 3 and link it to verse number 6 and 7, and you know what we come up with? The rubbish is the result of sin. Amen. Rubbish don't get in your life no more than it got in this story of Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem by accident. It happened on purpose. It happened, amen, listen, as a result of unconfessed sin. And Nehemiah knew that. Nehemiah recognized that. And before he ever nailed the first nail, before he cut the first beam, before he even got his king, amen, to give him some favor, before he done any of that, he went to God and said, but God, we got to have your hand upon us. We got to have your help if we're going to revive these stones. Nehemiah basically said, Lord, I can't tolerate this. I cannot stand to look at the Jerusalem now or the walls of Jerusalem now and compare that to what used to be. I can't tolerate, amen, I'm unwilling to accept the RBT now compared to the RBT that once was. Well, preacher, we're just in those days, you know. I mean, just rubbish is everywhere. Every church has got rubbish ministries. That don't matter. That don't matter. Listen, y'all listen to me. That don't have a thing to do with this church. If every church on planet Earth is corrupt and full of rubbish and they change their name to Rubbish Baptist Church, that don't have a thing to do with that, with us. Last time I checked on that sign up there at the road, it says that we, Rogersville Baptist Temple, is an independent Baptist church, meaning no other church has say-so in this church. Are y'all listening? Amen. We're a self-governing body, and by the way, before y'all get too happy about that or too bent out of shape over that, every New Testament church started out being an independent. And they were baptistic in doctrine, so that made them Baptist. They baptized by immersion. It's the only kind seen in the scripture. Amen. And they believe and preach the doctrines that you and I embrace right here. Amen. No organization, no headquarters, nothing has any say-so in this church. The Lord gives direction and the Lord Listen, the Lord is sending this message, whether it's received or responded to, I have no idea. That's out of my reach, but I am going to preach it, amen. And I know you may not like it. People come into this morning thinking, well, we need to hear some positive stuff. I am telling you some positive stuff. The stones can be revived, but they're laying in heaps of rubbish. We need to deal with the rubbish. We've got a few weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks or so, to deal with the rubbish before our scheduled meeting comes, and we need to get all the rubbish gone so we can focus our attention on the stones that need to be revived. Say amen right there. And the last thing, listen, I'm not being a smart aleck. There ain't nothing spiritual about that, but I'm telling you, I'm not the least bit concerned about what you're thinking about me and my preaching this morning. And I'm not being a smart aleck about that. Amen. I am unwilling to watch RBT lay in heaps of accumulating rubbish. I guarantee you, though I said earlier I don't know what's going on, I guarantee you I can say this and be accurate. There's sin in the camp. I guarantee you there's rubbish in some hearts. There's rubbish, amen, in some mental thought life. Amen. There's some rubbish in some decisions, choices of direction that you're taking, some of you. I guarantee there, by the fact that Nehemiah, before he ever started dealing with rubbish, far as get hands on, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, amen. Before Nehemiah ever got a shovel, a rake, or a whatever kind of a tool that they use to deal with the rubbish, Brother Jeter, before he ever did with the hands on rubbish, he went into the throne of grace and dealt with rubbish of sin in prayer. And here's what I'm convinced of. I didn't just fall off the last wagon that come through town. I've been in this thing quite a while. And that don't make me a veteran, and it certainly don't make me a know-it-all, but I think I've seen some things, and I think I know a little bit. If all you're interested in dealing with is the external rubbish and not the internal rubbish, your revival will be over with before Brother Willis gets out of town. Amen. Let's be committed this morning. Let's start a commitment this morning of dealing with internal rubbish. That's what Nehemiah did in prayer and fasting. Amen. Dealt with that in prayer. God, forgive us of our sin. We have sinned against you. We have sinned against you. Amen. We have sinned. We confess. He said, I'm confessing the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. The rubbish is not because of sin that's forthcoming. The rubbish was because of sin already committed. And then he said, we've dealt very corruptly against thee. He said, we've dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments. You know what he said? When he started dealing with the rubbish and the reason of it, Brother Jeter, he went to this right here. He said, Lord, you said thou shalt not, and we've been doing it anyhow. Lord, you sent us message after message after message, and we're doing it anyway. Lord, we dealt very corruptly with you. How did we deal corruptly with the Lord? How do we deal with that? By not honoring and obeying the commands of God. What about that? Nehemiah said, we need to deal with the internal spiritual rubbish before we focus our attention to the outward, physical, literal, visible rubbish. Miss Debbie, it's a lot easier though, be honest. It's a lot easier for me to look in my life and look at, and find, Brother Jeff, the visible rubbish. I'm talking about rubbish, sis, you could see, or rubbish that you could hear come out of my mouth. Be easy to deal with that because I think, man, people can see that. Wow. And what would they think of Preacher Radcliffe? They saw that rubbish. And sometimes we're quick to deal with that, Brother Aaron. And then we leave the trash and the garbage and the dust piles of rubbish on the inside. But both has got to be dealt with. Nehemiah dealt with both, but he started out with the spiritual rubbish, the inside, the internal confession of sin. And you know what? Just the basic meaning of confession of sin doesn't mean you admit it. It means you take sides with God against it. It is that you put your sin right here, you recognize your sin, you get over here with God that calls it sin and say, yes, God, I agree with you, that is sin. Hell yeah. We want 1 John 1:9, and I have claimed it many times, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that verse. That verse is not written to sinners. That verse was written to save people that were struggling in their fellowship with God. Why? Because of sin. Why did he say was it the next verse? Or a verse or two before that, he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we are a liar. If we're going to deal with rubbish, you don't deal with rubbish like this. You're the fault. You're the fault. Yeah, you are the reason that I've got broken down spiritual walls and rubbish in my life. Yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault. No. That don't get nothing done. Rubbish that's in your life comes from your choices. That's good preaching right there. Amen. God help us. And can we not agree this morning that the enemy, and we do have an enemy, arch enemy is the devil. The flesh is an enemy. The world is an enemy. Brother Bob, can we not all agree this morning that the devil specializes in rubbish? How many of you know people in your life, or maybe you have been one. You look in your life and all you see is rubbish. I wish I'd have brought it with me. I wrote it down. I wrote down because I was speaking with a nurse here in town at Rogersville Hospital. I was speaking with a nurse, and they began to give me some information. I didn't ask for it. It was just coming to me. And I was writing it down, and I wrote it down on just a little piece of paper. And wasn't aiming to use it this morning, so I didn't bring my little piece of paper. But he talked about right here in little old Rogersville. Right here in little old Rogersville, how many people in a week's time comes through the ER right here that are suicidal and wanting to kill themselves? Are y'all listening? He said there's been many as 10 a week. Now, I know that may not sound like much, but you're talking about a small town. You're talking about a small area. And went on to say that not only that, but the ages range from teens and young people all the way up to people that are in their 60s. Don't want to live? Who's behind that? Why would a person want to even think thoughts like that? I tell you what it is. They look at their life, and their whole life is nothing but piles of shattered rubbish. Amen. And they're overwhelmed by it. And they think, why live with all this mess? How many people's got out of church over that? Look at the life, the rubbish in your life or the rubbish in somebody else's life. This church has had some hard licks over the past year of decisions that other people have made. That was choices of rubbish. And it devastated us. It devastated me. It devastated us. But I want to tell you what. God says it's time to quit whining about the rubbish and blaming somebody else about the rubbish. Amen. And realize you and I are still here. RBT is still in business. Amen. The lights are still on. And there's preaching going on here. Mission work still going on here. Amen. That's right. Do I like that they're out, that they've crumbled? Do I like that they've made choices that disgraced our Lord first and foremost and disgraced our church? You think I rejoice in that? No, sir, I don't rejoice in that. But I'm sick of coming to church acting like I've got 7,000 pounds of weight hanging off of me. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of looking at and seeing the piles and heaps of rubbish everywhere. I'm sick of that. And excusing it and blaming on this, that, and the other. No, it's time the rubbish is gone. It's time the rubbish is gone in your life and in mine. Amen, that's right. Amen. Man, life. Well, I wish, listen, I'm gonna give you a few of these thoughts. These are sayings the Lord gave me. Some of those I've already given you. Listen to this. Rubbish is the result of the devil using people. Would you agree with that? Rubbish in our text, in our passage, rubbish is the result of the devil using people. But revival is the result of God using people. Amen? Oh my. I like this. I mean, God gave me a bunch of saying statements on it. Rubbish, and this is basically where I've been at all morning so far. Rubbish is the starting point of reviving and rebuilding. Rubbish is the starting point. Preacher, we need revival. You don't start with the stones. Oh, preacher, we need revival. There's stones and we need to revive and put back in place. Yeah, we do know that, but you got to deal with the rubbish. No removal of rubbish. No raising up or reviving of those stones. And no repairing of the gate. So I want to say it again. Rubbish was their starting point for the reviving and rebuilding that was needed. Rubbish is what's left after the enemy gets done. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I tell you how powerful, Brother Bob, the enemy is and how weak we are. He's the one behind the rubbish. The devil, the flesh, and the world is behind all the rubbish in my life. But you know what we'll do? Instead of turning in that point in a spiritual direction as Nehemiah did and fast and pray and get serious, amen, and get right with God, you know what we do? We turn from that into the flesh direction. We turn in the direction of the very ones and sources that caused it all. How many people you know that's got out of church over that? You mean to tell me because the devil and the world and the flesh put rubbish in your life with your consent? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get out of church. What are you doing? You're catering. You're catering. You're going right to the lap of the enemy that was in charge of the rubbish to begin with. The best thing for us to do is turn our attention toward God and say, oh God, we've sinned. Our children will not have much of a church in 10 years if we don't do something about the rubbish today. Well, amen, that's right. Lord, help us. Watch this right here. If you don't think this is big, I'm about done. I mean, I've got all kinds of material, but I'm about done this morning. Because if you haven't got what I've already tried to say, if nothing else, I'm going to be able to add to it. But listen to this. The enemy in chapter 4, verse 2, look back there. The enemy is making it a question, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? But then look at verse number 10. The enemy said that in verse 2. Do y'all agree with that? Sanballat's the one that said that in verse 2. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens are decayed. You know what that means? The bearers of the burdens are weak and fatigued and wore out. And there is much rubbish. Sanballat in verse 2 said heaps of rubbish. Here God's people said much rubbish. Oh, watch this. How many is looking at verse 10? Look at what God's people, not the enemy now, not Sanballat talking now. Brother Craig, Sanballat's not doing the speech now. I understand what he said in verse 2, but this is not Sanballat and Tobiah, and this is not the enemy. This is not that. Look at verse number 10. And Judah said, you know what Judah's name means? Praise. We're getting a praise report here. Oh, really? What is it? Well, the strength and the burden bearers or burdens are decayed, or is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. They began to take the very thing the devil, the enemy, was saying and started using it themselves as an excuse. We can't build. Why? Why can't we not build? It's too much rubbish. You know we're in trouble when we start saying, well, you know what, Rachel, we've lost some ground. We probably won't ever be where we need to be and all this bunch of rot because of the rubbish. No, we need some folk this morning. And because I've already been studying on this, I'm already committed to it. But we need RBTers, members, visitors, attendees. We need everybody on board, young and old alike, all ages. We need everybody on board of being committed this morning of dealing with the rubbish so we can have revival. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I've tried my best to be obedient to you and tried to follow your leadership just kind of step by step through the message today. And Lord, I pray that you will make it big to us. It's revival or rubbish, one of the two. Can't be both. Can't be both. If we're all right with the rubbish, we'll never have revival. But may we be committed this morning. Instead of taking the boundaries that once had us on a high spiritual level, or at least a higher spiritual level, and moving those outward and making it more looking, more fitting to a broad road life that has very wide boundaries, very wide, very loose boundaries. Lord, help us to get back to that narrow road that we are to be walking on, that narrow road. It's not real wide, but it has a great ending because it leads to life eternal. Lord, I preached my heart. I preached, more importantly, I preached your heart. And I don't know what else you're going to want to be done with this. There's several things that could be said even about this subject of rubbish or revival. And we may deal with it again as you lead our hearts to do so. But I know this morning that the rubbish will never remove itself. It'll never just disappear. It'll be removed when we remove it. And we'll only remove it when we realize that in there, in the heaps of rubbish, there are some valuable stones. Irreplaceable stones that we're wanting to revive, put back in place to stand tall again for the Lord. Lord, I'm asking this morning that each individual will be honest with themselves. The rubbish of resentment, the rubbish of unforgiveness, the rubbish of criticism, the rubbish of hard feelings and ill will, the rubbish of an unread Bible, the rubbish of an unprayed prayers, the rubbish of unfaithfulness to church, the rubbish of robbing God of tithes and offerings, the rubbish of idleness, the rubbish of apathy. Lord, we could go on, and our lives are full of it. Please help us this morning to know that we are now held accountable because you sent a message letting us know, Lord, that you have found us out, you've put your finger on it, and it's time for us to deal with it. And I know that's a decision that no one person can make for another person. Other than parents can make that decision for their children, as they are the spiritual leaders in the home. But I wonder how many people here in the church is willing to get in this old-fashioned altar and say, God, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to be disturbed in my spirit, in my heart. I'm going to be burdened about what I'm seeing in my own life. The inside rubbish. The rubbish that's out of sight of others that I'm harboring in my spirit, in my attitude, in my thoughts, in my feelings toward others. God, I pray you help us. I believe we're either going to deal with this or not. It's just that clear. We're either going to deal with it or not. We'll never get the stones out till we get the rubbish out. And that'll only happen when we put separation in between the stones and the rubbish. Have discernment to go through the piles and realize this is of no benefit. This is no benefit. This in my life is of no benefit. This is nothing but, this is useless dust in my life, and it's of no benefit. And I make a choice, it's gone. But those stones I want to put back in place. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough this morning to send us the message.